Let's go ahead and get into God's word. Get your Bibles out. Go with me to Genesis chapter number 41. We continue our series, Survival to Significance. We have no doubt that God has designed us to live lives that flourish in the name of Jesus Christ, that we will thrive in the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, that which is inside of us. We know that He doesn't want us just to keep our head above water. He doesn't want us to be in survival mode, although there are days, there are moments, there may be even a little bit of season where you kind of feel like that, and we're not trying to put you down if you ever feel like that, because I can promise you every single person in this sanctuary, including Michelle and I, have those moments where we feel like we're just trying to keep our head above water. So we know that is very real. But we don't want to live in that manner. We want to live with this idea that we are going to flourish in who we are in the name of Jesus Christ. We don't want to be held back. We don't want to be held back from God's purposes, from what He has for our lives today. We don't want to be held back from what the Holy Spirit wants to do inside of us, from the blessings. Even though we may be in a season of difficulty, there are still blessings all around us. And we want to be able to see those, embrace those, and focus on those as we continue to walk with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We know He has more in our lives than just simply surviving, but He wants us to thrive. You know the scripture we've given you each week, John 10 and 10. We know the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus to give us life and life more abundantly. And that talks about all components of our life. That talks about our spiritual well-being, our emotional well-being, our physical well-being, our financial well-being. The Lord wants us to flourish in who we are in Him. I want to add a scripture this week, and that's Psalm 92. The entire chapter is powerful, but I'm just going to take a snapshot of a few verses. Verse number 12, I love the image that it paints within our minds. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. I love that picture of a beautiful, majestic, powerful, flourishing tree that has much life inside of it because it stands in the very presence of God. And can I tell you, that's a representation of every single one of us as a presence of God lives within us, that we're powerful, that we're strong, that we have this majestic God within us, that this glory the Lord is shining in and through our lives, that we have much life and much energy and much vibrance inside of us. That's the way the Lord wants us to live. Amen. Powerful, powerful passage. So you know the heart of this series. Those that have been with me, if you are a guest and this is your first time, welcome to Coweta Assembly. It's an honor to have you with us. You can go and download on our website, agcoweta.com, or you can go to the podcast if you ever have any issues. We will make sure you get a copy of the messages. I encourage you to listen to them. But survival to significance is about walking and thriving in the daily purpose of God, in His blessings. And all along, every step of the journey, we're going to give Him credit. We're going to give Him glory, all the credit for what He deserves in the way that He builds our lives up. Now, in this series, we have been going and looking at the life of Joseph. And this is one of those message series where I hope to be all in on all of them, but this one just kind of rings special in my heart. I don't know what it is exactly, but it just rings special inside of me. And just, you know, I'm already thinking, man, in a few weeks, it's going to be over. You know, what's going to happen with Joseph, you know? And so I just love what God's speaking to us in this message. You've been here. You know what's happened thus far. Hated, betrayed, abandoned by his own family, taken to Egypt, sold into slavery, betrayed, falsely accused, imprisoned by Potiphar, the master in which he served very well, caused blessing to be upon all that he owned inside and out. From the time he was bought by Potiphar to the time in prison where he encounters the chief butler and the chief baker, as we read last week, we know 11 years passed before God had him use his gift of interpreting the dream to them. We see that he interpreted the dream of the butler and the baker. He asked the butler to remember him when he was before the Pharaoh. Yet we know that the scripture told us that he was forgotten. He was forgotten by the butler. And so two more years will pass before something significant really begins to unfold. And that's where we pick up our story today. Genesis chapter 41, verse number 1. It says, after 2 years, two whole years, Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing by the Nile. And behold, there came up out of the Nile 7 cows, attractive and plump. And they fed in the reed grass. And behold, 7 other cows, ugly and thin, came up out of the Nile after them and stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile. I got to stop here for a moment because I thought about this as I was reading in the first service. I've been a part of cattle pretty much all my life. My grandfather, my father, we have a few cows now in Muldrow, and not once have I ever described them as attractive cows. Makes me think I'm doing something wrong, you know, that we got to have more attractive cows. I'm going to talk to my father after service. All right, verse number 4. And the ugly thin cows ate up the 7 attractive plump cows, and Pharaoh awoke. And he fell asleep and dreamed a second time. And behold, 7 ears of grain, plump and good, were growing on one stalk. And behold, after them sprouted 7 ears, thin and blighted by the east wind. And the thin ear swallowed up the 7 plump full ears. And Pharaoh awoke. And behold, it was a dream. So in the morning, his spirit was troubled. And he sent and he called for all the magicians of Egypt and all of its wise men. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was none who can interpret them to Pharaoh. And watch what happens in verse 9. Then the chief cupbearer, the chief butler, said to Pharaoh, I remember my offenses today. When Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me and the chief baker in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, we dreamed on the same night, he and I, each having a dream with its own interpretation. A young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. And when we told him, he interpreted our dreams to us, giving an interpretation to each man according to his dream. And as he interpreted to us, so it came about, I was restored to my office. And just as Joseph had interpreted, the baker, well, he was hanged. Then Pharaoh sent. At that moment, Pharaoh sent, and he called Joseph. And they quickly brought him out of the pit, out of the dungeon, out of the jail cell, out of the prison, whatever version that you may have. Now, as of last week, it may not have been the darkest and dingiest dungeon, but we do know he was in a jail. He was in a prison. He was confined. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came in before Pharaoh. Pharaoh says to Joseph, I've had a dream and there's no one who can interpret it. I've heard it said of you that you, when you hear a dream, that you can interpret it. Well, Joseph answered Pharaoh, much like he did the 2 years before when he spoke to the butler and the baker. He gives God the credit and he says, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. Now, after that, in the next few verses, Pharaoh then recites his dream once again, and he does so to Joseph. We will not read that because we read that together. So let's pick it up in verse 25. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good cows, they are 7 years, and the 7 good ears are 7 years. The dreams are one. The 7 lean and ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years, and the 7 empty blighted by the east wind are also 7 years of famine. It is as I told Pharaoh, God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. There will come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, but after them there will arise 7 years of famine, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land. The famine will consume the land, and the plenty will be unknown in the land by reason of the famine that will follow, for it will be very severe. Verse 32. And the doubling of Pharaoh's dream means that this thing is fixed by God, and God will shortly bring it about. Now therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and a wise man, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh proceed to appoint overseers over the land and take 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt during the 7 plentiful years. And let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh for the food in the cities, and let them keep it. That food shall be a reserve for the land against the 7 years of famine that are to occur in the land of Egypt, so that the land may not perish while during this famine. Now this proposal, verse 37, this proposal pleased Pharaoh and all of his servants. And Pharaoh says to his servants, can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has shown you all of this, there is none so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all of the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his hand, and he put it on Joseph's hand. And he clothed him in garments of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him ride in his second chariot. And they called out before him, bow the knee. Thus he set him over all the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no one shall lift up hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Saphnath-Paneah, and he gave him in marriage Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. So Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Now let's stop right there for a moment. I'm going to pick it back up. It's a long text, so I'm going to kind of break it up a little bit today. But I want to stop right here and give us a couple things. Now, church, if you are looking for a chapter in Scripture that gives a powerful illustration of God's providence at work in the lives of people in fulfilling His purpose, this is one of those chapters. You see God's sovereignty and His providence all over this as He uses the free will of people to accomplish what He wants to fulfill in and through their lives. Now, this morning, I'm going to continue to lay out the plan that we see in Joseph. In his story of survival to significance. Each week, we've been building that blueprint. Remember, week number one, what we started out with, the atmosphere of your home matters. Number two, understanding your family dynamic. It's highly beneficial. Number three, what you cannot control, you should not allow to have control over you. Number four, be prepared to be tested. And number five, your gifts were given to you so you could use them. So today, as we continue to add to that, because all those elements are important, the first thing I would give it to you today is this. God's timing and His movement are always best in our lives. God's timing and His movement is always best in all of us. 13 years of confinement, 13 years of waiting, 13 years of developing, 13 years of remaining faithful, 13 years of believing what God had spoken in his life, in the dream that God had given him, 13 years, and then God moves Joseph one step closer to his dream being fulfilled. A lot has happened in those 13 years. How many of you know that none of us would have probably wished those 13 years upon Joseph? We would have said, hey, Joseph, if we knew the story already and we could speak to him, we'd say, Joseph, you know, hang in there. We wish it was only a couple years. Really, we wish it was only a couple of days. You know, we hate that you've had to wait 13 years. How many of you know 13 years is a long time? 13 years is a long time. Sometimes, for you and I, our 2 weeks feels like 13 years. Our 2 months feels like 13 years. But we see here that God's timing and His movement are always best, even after it's been 13 years. And when God decided to move, I want you to see the progression that takes place. God gave Pharaoh 2 dreams. They were very vivid dreams that He gave him. God reminded the chief butler about Joseph. God led Pharaoh to call for Joseph. And then God gives Joseph the interpretation of Pharaoh's dream. But not only did He give him an interpretation, you also saw that He gave him wisdom and the courage to deliver some advice to Pharaoh. He wasn't called there to come and tell Pharaoh what to do. He was called there to interpret the dream. But not only did he use the gift of an interpretation, he also used the gift of wisdom. And he was only able to do that because of what God had been doing inside of him. And he used it because God had given him the courage to stand there before Pharaoh and say such things. This is a powerful moment when God decides to move, when God decides to act, His timing is always perfect. Church, you know this. God sets the time when He will answer our prayer. He sets the time when He will fulfill His purpose and reveal His providence in our lives. And although for you and I, much time may pass, it may be 13 years, it may be 20 years, it may be 5 years, it may be a few months, and even those weeks, again, they can seem very lengthy. But when it is time for God to move, He will move. He will act. And when He does, it will always be best for our life. Amen? Always. Notice what I put here on the PowerPoint. If God's timing is always best, because we say that as Christians, that's one of our phrases, right? It's one of our catchphrases. God's timing is always best. God's right on time. God's time is always perfect. Well, if His timing is always best, wouldn't it be in our best interest to wait for Him to move? But how many of you know we don't always do that? Has anybody out there besides myself ever got ahead of God? You ever try to make things happen? You ever try to restore a relationship without God leading the way and you try to do it on your own? You ever try to get your finances in order, you know, in your own without having the wisdom of God to place within you to be a wise steward and things of that matter? I mean, there's lots of different examples. You and I and many of you shook your head and said yes. For those of you that haven't, man, someday I'll be as holy as you. But anyway, no. It's hard. Trusting in God's timing and movement requires something that you and I many times run short on. Patience. Patience. Now, some of us are better than others, while others of us would rather not talk about it and move on. It is in those seasons of required patience where God is allowing our faith to mature, where our spiritual endurance, our character, and our hope that we spoke of in Romans last week, He's allowing that to develop, allowing that to build. It's in those seasons where you and I are having to learn that patience that God is doing something just other than teaching us to be patient. But He is developing us. He's preparing within us things that we don't even realize. He's putting wisdom in our lives. He's putting courage in our life. He's putting something deep within that He knows is going to come out someday. But in order for that to come out, we've got to walk through this season, and we've got to be patient, and we've got to allow God to do it within us before it's ever going to be accomplished. That's what happens in Joseph's life, and that's what happens in every single one of us. Every single one of us in this church need to learn to develop patience in our life. If you're going to be a child of God, you must develop patience. If you are married, you must develop patience. If you have children or grandchildren, you must develop patience. If you have neighbors that live close by, you must develop patience. It doesn't matter who you are, what you do, whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you're self-employed, whether you work for a company or whatever it may be, every single one of us, a quality of patience is going to be needed at some point in your life. And when it comes to Christianity, and it comes to life's challenges, in life's seasons we don't quite understand, we know that patience is incredibly a valuable element for our lives. Let me give you some scripture about patience that's beneficial. Psalms 27:13 says, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord while I'm in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Psalm 33:20, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help. He is our shield. For our heart is glad in Him because we trust in His holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we wait upon You, even as we place our hope in You, even as we go through these seasons of being patient, God, we know You will come through. Isaiah 64:4, for since the world began, no ear has heard and no eye has seen a God like You who works for those who wait for Him, for those who are patient in their seasons of life, waiting on Him to move. God works on their behalf. Lamentations 3:24, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who will wait for Him, who will be patient for Him. He is there for the soul who will seek Him. 13 years of Joseph waiting for God's timing and movement is an extremely important part of this entire journey. From chapter 37 all the way to chapter 50, this season of patience was incredibly important. Without the 13 years of waiting, certainly his story would not have been the same, but even more so, church, what we need you to see, Joseph, without those 13 years of patience, Joseph would not have been the same. You see, when his moment came, he was going to be a different man. He was no longer a 17-year-old boy who misunderstood the emotions of his father and his brothers. He was no longer a 17-year-old boy who was excited about a dream. He just wanted to, you know, share it with his family. He's no longer just this teenager, 18, 19, 20-year-old that's serving in Potiphar's house. He's no longer this young adult who is in this prison. In this time, God is developing this man of God, this leader, this greatness. And that 13 years was vitally important to what was taking place in his life. Now, I know our story doesn't look like Joseph's. And even if you began to try to compare, you'd be like, I don't even want to do that. Mine's not even close to that. Can I tell you, your story is just as valuable. Your seasons of waiting are just as valuable. The patience that you have to endure in your life is just as valuable. And regardless whether it is something very personal within your spiritual life, an emotion that you're trying to work through, something that's happening within your home and your family, something in your life, in your calling of whatever God has placed upon you, can I tell you, the season that you're in right now, if you'll keep your eyes focused on the Lord, deep within, He is developing you for something greater than you could ever imagine in your life. That's what's happening with Joseph. Trusting in God's timing, being patient for Him to move, being developed through the process, they're all extremely important elements of going from survival to significance. A lesson well taught by Joseph to give to you and I. The second thing I see here is that when God calls upon you, when the moment comes, when He says it's time to move, when He says it's time to act, when He says it's go time, be ready. Be ready. Notice what we see in Joseph's life. How would Joseph respond after 13 years have passed? Especially when everything begins to move so fast. I don't know about you. Have you ever noticed that when God does say, okay, it's go time, when He starts to move, He's moving. And you got to hang on. You got to go with Him. Would He be overwhelmed by that? Would He say, oh man, I've been in this prison. I've been around these individuals. I don't know how to handle myself. I don't quite know what to do. Was He nervous? The scripture certainly doesn't give us that. It tells us that He was prepared. And prepared not to present His case before Pharaoh so that He might be shown some mercy and released to go home. He may have done that 2 years prior. Because 2 years prior, remember, that's why He spoke to the chief butler and he said, remember me. Perhaps remember me. That way I can share my case before the Pharaoh because he really had this desire to go home. Now these other 2 years, you'd say, why did it take 2 more years? There were 2 more years of development that needed to happen in his life for him to be able to not worry about presenting his case so he could go home, but so he could stand before Pharaoh and do whatever it is God was asking him to do. Because if he had done it prematurely those 2 years before, perhaps he would have said something that would not have gained favor in the eyes of Pharaoh. God needed this to work as God needed it to work. And so now he's prepared to do so. He's prepared to stand and be used by God. For Joseph, only God knew what was about to unfold. And it would be in his best interest just to follow his time and to follow his movement and just be ready. Now, note what happens before Joseph goes before Pharaoh. He prepares his appearance. This is a big moment. Now, we know the Egyptian men, they didn't sport beards during this time in their culture as the Hebrews did. So that's why Joseph shaves, he changes his clothes, and he is prepared to go meet Pharaoh. I like what one of my studies pointed out. It said, for the third time in 13 years, he's given up his garment. But this time, it's going to be a garment of one of a ruler and authority and of royalty. You think about that. From the coat of many colors to servant's clothes to prison clothes. Now, because it's God's time and God is all over this, he's about to receive clothes of royalty. When God calls upon you, be prepared. And when I make that statement, I know this morning it's a broad statement because I don't know what God is preparing in you, but God does. And what is about to unfold, that's between you and God. That's something that you and God will work out. I simply wrote down things such as this. Perhaps God is preparing you for salvation. Who has come into God's house today? You're not in a genuine relationship with the Lord, and God wants to save you. He's already ministered to you through song. He's already ministered to you through the powerful words of those songs, how He wants to free you from those sins, from that bondage, how He wants to change your life. Today, God wants to save those who are lost. That might be you. What would your pastor say to you today? Be ready when God calls you to a place of salvation. Be ready to respond and accept Him. But also be ready if God is calling you to a place of restoration. So many people stay in an unrestored place because they're not following the leading of the Holy Spirit. If God wants to restore you, He's not going to do it halfway. He's going to do it all the way. And if God wants to do a work of restoration, we've got to rise up and be ready and allow God to do that in our lives. Be ready when God calls upon you to receive your healing. How many of us get comfortable in our healing? How many of us that is all we know is some type of sickness, whether it be physical, whether it be an emotional sickness. Maybe it's a state of darkness, a state of oppression. Maybe it's a state of mind where you feel a heaviness upon you. Maybe your sickness is your loneliness. Maybe it is something that's really holding you back. How many of us stay just comfortable in those areas, but God is saying, I'm calling you out of that today. I'm bringing you out of the darkness. I'm bringing you into the light. When God speaks to your soul in such a manner, you better rise up and be ready and allow God to do something in your life. Amen. God is calling you to those places. Be ready when God calls you to use your gift. You've heard Michelle and I talk about it these past couple of weeks. 100%. 100%. That means every person here, every person breathing, every person that is in attendance today, we're believing 100% that God will take this local body and he will use your gift and you will allow him to do so. That's a big challenge, right? But that's a challenge that God would have us give to you. Be ready. Be ready when God calls upon you to give witness of who he is, whether it's through your words or through your actions. Be ready when God decides to move. If there's a prayer that you have been praying, if you're asking for God to do something big in your life, or maybe it's something small, whatever it may be, if you're trusting God for something, be ready when God gets ready to move. Amen? It's important. We see that in Joseph. If we're going to learn to wait upon him, let's prepare ourselves along the way to be ready when God says it's time to move. You know, sometimes, many times, we get ahead of ourselves. We'll say like, okay, God, I'm ready. I'm ready right now. Let's do it. And you get frustrated because you're like, God, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to do this. I'm ready for my prayer to be answered. I'm ready for my family to be restored. I'm ready to be healed. I'm ready for a breakthrough. I'm ready for a spiritual breakthrough, an emotional breakthrough, a church breakthrough. God, I'm just ready for the breakthrough. Here I am. Let's do it. I want to do this. And it's not happening. Why? Because God is saying to you, you're not ready yet. Because you're still wanting everything that you want. You're still wanting everything that you have inside of you that you think is right and that you think it ought to be and how you think it ought to look and how you think your finances ought to be. And you've got it all figured out inside. And God's saying, you're not ready yet. And the reason why I haven't answered or the reason why I haven't moved, I'm moving, but not in the way you think I am. I'm moving in a way inside of you to try to develop you so when it does come time for that prayer to be answered, you're going to receive it in the best way possible. And you won't just find yourself being blessed for a little bit and going back into another hole. Sometimes we get blessed for a little bit and we find ourselves in another hole. And that's not because that's what God wanted to do. That's because we weren't ready when God spoke to us. Because we weren't prepared within. I know it's a challenge, right? You're looking at me like, Pastor, keep preaching, but you're a little bit in my business right now. It's in my business. I've lived this. Why do I preach it with such passion? Why do I have it inside of me? Maybe that's why I relate to this story so much, because there's so many things that I look at and say, wow, I wish I'd gained this a lot younger in life and had this inside of my life. So much that the Lord is speaking to us. Too many people live in disappointment and discouragement because they were not prepared when God said it's time. Too many of us live in survival mode because it seems much easier to get comfortable right there instead of being prepared for something greater. How many of you know that's why people stay in addiction? Because that seemingly is much more comfortable than trying to overcome it and live to greatness. Sometimes it's easier just to be an angry person because that's all you've known, instead of allowing God to help you overcome that and be a person of peace and life and joy. You see what I mean? To work to something better, it's going to take a little bit, right? It's going to take a lot. It's the Holy Spirit working inside of us. It's not just going to magically appear. Oh, Father God, I want this virtue inside of my life. Boom, I've prayed. Here I am. I'm peaceful. I'm joyful. I'm no longer angry. I've got all the patience in the world. It doesn't work that way, church. All through Scripture, we see through the Old Testament and then in the teachings of Paul in the New Testament that all of these virtues, all of these characteristics, these are things that are developed within us as we walk our journey with Christ. And so you got to be ready when it comes time. When God calls upon you, whether big or small, be ready to follow his lead. And in doing so, I believe you will find yourself accomplishing much greater things than you could ever imagine, just like we've read you for several weeks, the prayer that Paul prayed there in the church of Ephesus. Now, we're going to add one more thing here, but before we do, for a few moments, let's go back to our text. Let's see the end of this. Verse 46. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. And during the 7 plentiful years, the earth produced abundantly. And he gathered upon all the food of those 7 years which occurred in the land of Egypt. And he put the food in the cities. He put in every city the food from the fields around it. Joseph stored up grain in great abundance, like the sand of the sea. Notice this, until he ceased to measure it, for it could not be measured. Before the year of famine came, 2 sons were born to Joseph. Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, she bore them to him. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for he said, God has made me forget all of my hardship and all of my father's house. The name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. The 7 years of plenty that occurred in the land of Egypt came to an end. And the 7 years of famine, they began to come, as Joseph said they would. There was famine in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt, there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for the bread. And he says to the Egyptians, go to Joseph. What he says you do, then do it. So when the famine had spread over all the land, Joseph opened the storehouses. He sold it to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe in the land of Egypt. Moreover, all the earth came to Egypt, to Joseph, to buy grain, because the famine was severe over all the area, over all the earth. Powerful. So everything's happening just as Joseph said it would happen. And whether Joseph realized it or not, I'm not sure he did when he gave the advice to Pharaoh that he needs to find a man that could operate in such wisdom. I'm not sure if he knew that or not, but he's the man. And I don't know where Joseph's at in his thinking. I don't know where that dream is at right now. Has that dream settled? Is it kind of buried a little bit? I'm not sure what all is happening, but I got to believe that that dream is still alive. Because a man who has the gift of interpreting dreams and a man of such wisdom and a man who's really following God's lead, I believe he understands that I've been put in such a place that now not only is Egypt going to be saved, but the people all around, that I'm the man, I'm the individual that can reach out and I can save lives. Pretty awesome what's happening within him. His spirit within him begins to change. Because in these 30 years, he's obviously thought about that moment of being sold into slavery. He's thought about that moment when his brothers placed him within that pit. He's had a lot of emotions. Let's not make it look like he's some superhero, that he doesn't have human emotions. He has all of the human emotions that you and I have to work through. But now things begin to change, and things begin to change in him. The third thing I would add to our blueprints of thriving in God's purpose is let go of yesterday's disappointments and hurts by focusing on the blessings that God has given you today. After 13 years of waiting for this moment, Joseph did not completely forget about his family. Don't read it in that manner. But he did forget, or a better word, he did let go of the disappointments, the pain, the hurt, the feeling of abandonment and betrayal, and any bitterness that he may have struggled with as time has passed. In this moment, he's letting that go. You see, as his sons are being born to him, it is time for him to move forward, time for him to begin a new start in life, and time for his dream to come to pass. Not one of ruling over his family, but living in the significant position that God has placed him. I don't believe he's thinking about his dream. Oh, my brothers are going to bow before me. He's thinking, God has placed me in this significant position in order to do a work that's going to reach out and touch people's lives. God allows Joseph to have a wife. Yes, she's an Egyptian wife. What does that relationship look like? Does he lead her to the Lord? Does he bring her to a saving knowledge of who God is? I want to believe in my heart he did. The scripture does not tell us that. But the Lord allows him to have a wife and then two sons. And you saw their names, Manasseh, which means forgetting, to forget, to let go. Joseph let go of the bad memories and the feelings of the past by embracing his blessings of the present. And that first son represented God's blessings of the present. This is my present. This is my blessing. This is what I live for. The second he named Ephraim, which means twice fruitful, which signifies that he recognized the abundance of God's blessings, that he was in a land of plenty, that he was in second command, and that he was in position to save many lives. You see, those sons' names, those are very significant because it represents that he is no longer focusing on what has happened to him in his life, but he's focusing on where he is at today and where God is taking him. Joseph, forced to lay aside his robe of many colors for a servant's robe, and then had exchanged that for prison clothes. But as he's waited upon God, as he's prepared himself to be ready, all of that is now changed. And he now sees himself living in the blessings of God as he's put on a robe of royalty and authority. I really sat on that for a moment, and I understood why. Because it took me to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, when the writer tells us that you, the New Testament church, you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You belong to God. that you may declare the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You, the church, you used to have different clothes. You used to have clothes of bondage. You used to have prison clothes, some of us literally and some of us metaphorically. You've had things that have bound you back. You've had that old self the scripture talks about. Take off those old clothes. Take off that sinful lifestyle. Take off that old nature. Take off those hurts. Take off those disappointments. Take off that past. Take off of everything, every mistake, every failure, every outburst of anger. Take place of all everything that's held you back. Take it off, because now you wear the clothes of royalty. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You have the authority of the Holy Spirit living inside you. No longer are you that individual. Today, you are living in the blessings that God has called you to live in, out of darkness and into the light. Amen. That spoke to me, because even though I can't relate hardly at all, literally, of what Joseph went through, I can relate to the fact that God has changed me over time, and he's placed me in a place where I'm to live in his daily blessings and thrive with what he's doing inside of my life. Church, God did not design you to simply survive in a world that's filled with disappointments and hurts and unbelief and anger and darkness. And he certainly did not purpose you to wallow in such things. Too many people wallow in those things. They want to stay there. We're like an old hog in the mud. Sometimes we just get there and we like it way too much. And we wallow around. And how many of you know a hog that's been wallowing around in the mud for a very long time? That thing stinks. Think about the imagery I'm painting in your mind. That's what we do sometimes. We wallow in our hurt and our disappointment and our discouragement and all these things. We wallow in that. And boy, after a while, man, our faith just starts stinking, right? Think about it. But God didn't purpose for that. He purposed us to thrive as royalty as we daily walk in the blessings of God our Father. And not royalty as in a prince and a princess in that sense of what you see on TV. I'm talking about royalty of being a child of God, an heir to his throne, a spiritual royalty, an authority, a blessing, a purpose that only comes from God himself. And so as I get ready to close and we go into prayer, seeing these things today just really helps us understand from moment to moment, circumstance to circumstance, day to day, everything we do in life, it matters. What Joseph was doing in those 13 years, it matters. And when it came to his moment to stand before Pharaoh, how he chose to approach that, it mattered. So I leave you with this. What you do today, how you approach today, how you approach church, how you approach worship, how you approach the prayer time that's about to unfold, what you do, it matters. What you choose to focus on right now in the present, where your mind is at day to day, what you focus on, it matters. What you choose to hold on to and what you choose to let go of, just as Joseph, it matters. Yesterday's disappointments and hurts should never be today's focus. Today's focus should be on the blessings of God, the purpose that he's placed within you, and how he's going to achieve that in and through your life. I wrote this down. I hope it makes sense to you. Survival mode, those of us in survival mode, we tend to stay in the past. We embrace the past, good or bad, whether it's something good or that we just always go there, or if it's maybe not so good, we tend to embrace the past. Those of us in significant mode, we choose to embrace each new day with God leading the way. And I'd ask you today as we go into prayer, what we're getting ready to do matters. Are you ready to embrace what God is speaking in your life and what God wants to accomplish in your life today?